The Apocrypha Chronicles. Episode 2, The Myconet.
Garden inventory. From the horizons of the soil. Bedrock containing a reading from the Ballad of Symbiosis about the origins of the Myconet. For darkness had come through the carbon-filled skies, winter of summers, to call the smog down, ghosts of trees return to earth, damp humus carbon sink. Pale paths hide below long arteries of mushrooms, fungal renewal. These lines tell of how we first harnessed the power of mycelial networks to begin healing the earth after the climate catastrophes of the mid-21st century. Our ancestors later discovered a way to cultivate and grow the mycelial networks. Around 2075, they began dismantling the digital internet and replacing its function with our myconet. Using just the electrical energy contained within the humus, feeding two birds with one scone, allowing us to communicate while composting our past pollutions. It was the beginning of our age, the age of symbiosis.
I thought I saw a mycoport around here. I know there's one in the stand of birches. Oh, there it is.
Please place palm of hand on Earth interface panel.
Yep. Come on.
Interface established. Welcome back to the Myconet, Junior Archivist Hyphene.
Yeah, thanks. Open signal, mycelial level. Destination, Chief Gardener R. Malaria, Generational Garden.
Signal, open.
Ike Swail, Elderlar. We need to talk. I've stumbled onto something amazing. I've just been wandering Stamen 8B in the rainforest near Kwaikwai, and I saw the weirdest thing. Some lobster mushrooms. They were in a pattern I didn't recognize, nothing like the patterns that fruit from our myconet. I followed them. It was almost like they made a path. I had a piece of old tech wired up to my myco recorder. I think they're called AirBods? I don't know, I could only find one in the case and there was no writing on it. That's not the point though. The point is, the tech picked up a signal. You would have loved this place. The shrooms, like, converged around the roots of a massive old tree. Must be miles of hyphae underneath there. Anyway, there were chanterelles, amanitas, puffballs, scads of them. Total fungal bloom. And a parasitic outbreak of lobster mushrooms like nothing I've ever seen. As it got closer, the tech started to buzz. It spored me right out. I've never had a piece of old tech start up on its own before. And then suddenly, I could hear these voices, and all this talk of a pandemic. But I'm not sure which one. The voices must come from some kind of historical artifact. I don't know how it got out here. I was obviously recording my whole exploration for archival purposes, so I made a recording of the voices. I'll send it to you now. It's piggybacked on this transmission. Please don't be mad I took the AirBod out of the Arizgorna. I know I'm not supposed to, but, well, you know all my theories about old tech. And look what happened. Send.
Sending.
Open signal. Eitzwiel. V. I felt your message and whatever it was you found. Oh, V. It's bad enough you were taking sacred digital tech unremarked upon and using it to, what, jack the Myconet? But did you even collect any of the specimens you mention? Or log the lobster patterns and a fungal bloom that size? A discovery like that could be useful for the new members of our sphere, and just in time for Equinox, too. I do appreciate your enthusiasm for our work, but my dear one, you would be wise to follow the example of the singing season and greet the cycles in the order that they come. Awa Eitat Tenawa. Remember, your job is to help me transfer the digital archive into the garden so we have a safe record of history, not to mess around with tech from the archive. It's already a miracle the Many Nations Council has let me keep the Eris Gorna up and running rather than torching all the tech. I don't want to jeopardize that goodwill. I need to be able to trust you, Fee. I'm not going to report you to the council. Yet. Come back to the Eris Gorna. There's something in the garden I need to show you. It's about the content of those recordings. I think I can date them. All the way back to 2020. Pandemic -3. Hai Hiwash. Send.
Sending.
Absorb copy to garden.
Absorbing.
Come back to the Eris Gorna.
Artist identification protocol active. Please identify yourself.
Junior Archivist Hyphene. I've been working on this little song lately.
You may enter the Eris Gorna.
Eitzwiel, Elderlar.
Oh, for Earth's sakes, V. Take that thing out of your ear. I really don't know how you can bear the palp of that plastic against your skin. Did you feel my message?
Yes. I'm sorry, Lar, but...
I know you have your ways, but there is a reason we keep the tech here, V. We don't want it clogging up our minds. It's important that we treat it with the respect it deserves.
Yes. The gift of the present is made by hand.
We feel from the earth. You've been here long enough to abide by the tenets, and it's not my job to lecture you.
I thought that kind of exactly was your job.
Teachings are not lectures.
I said I was sorry. Did you listen to the transmission?
I did. As I said, I'm not going to report you just yet. Here, come to the garden so I can share with you something from our ancestors.
Wow, you can really hear the roots singing today. Did you make an addition to the rainfall marimbas?
I've been experimenting on the instrument's interplay with the microclimate of the garden. I think it works well with my latest plantings. And with the rains of autumn nearly upon us, I'm eager to hear how it will change.
Lar... The performances mentioned in the message, do you think they were like the show? Things felt familiar, but different. For one thing, the performances those people spoke of seemed to be inside?
Yes, I noticed that too. Also, there was fear and unknowing.
How can you be sure it is from 2020?
That language has been well documented. Lockdowns, before time. It's from the first great pandemic. They used to call it COVID before the other ones came. Watch yourself. Tucked behind this Salish rose, telkashp, and some soapberries.
This is the seed of the garden, right?
Right here. The mycelium in this soil. This has been tended from the first generational garden. 130 years ago, this was the start of the medicine of Tamoch, the medicine of the land that eventually led us out of the age of the pandemics. It feels everything. I think you should spend some time here. Put your hand in the soil, palp the earth. Listen to the Aortan pipes sing the music of the mountains. Think on the old tech you are using and how it could pollute what we've built here. This garden has its purpose, and you betrayed it today. Our work is important, Fee, but we have a way. It's to keep us safe. I'm going to go make some chicory. Come and join me for a cup when it's ready, if you like.
I think you should spend some time here, Fee. Well, all right, I guess. What's that sound? It feels the same as the signal before. I can sense. It's the airbot again. Oh, my roses.
There is something you lost or postponed.
My family and I, we lost our home.
I lost a lot of gigs.
A family visit.
Gigs got canceled.
All that we took for granted.
That was really hard to let that go.
What I've let go of is absolute certainty.
And the idea that absolute certainty exists.
When my first gig got canceled, it was sort of like an omen.
There is no such thing.
And all of my other gigs got canceled. It was surreal. And it was like I was just watching this rollout of cancellations. And it was like this big, slow steamroller that I could do absolutely nothing to stop.
And I remember it just seemed sort of shocking to me because we were starting to hear about the virus while I was on contract in Edmonton, and it just seemed like it was so far away. Like, we seemed like it wasn't going to be affecting us. And I remember feeling like the world was ending or something.
There is no such thing as absolute certainty. There are no guarantees.
To try and even imagine what happened was beyond imagining.
Things can be taken from you just like that.
Just like that.
My family and I, we lost our home.
Within a few days of the lockdown back in March, we were informed at the Metropolitan Opera that we would be placed on furlough.
We had just moved to New York City about 6 or 7 months before for the second time, and we had found this unicorn apartment. The whole apartment, even though it was really small, had this really magical feel about it. We had stopped traveling as freelancers, and we were starting a sort of new chapter in our lives. We were gonna live in one place for as many years as we were able.
We had to make the tough decision to get rid of our apartment, to sell all of the furniture that we had just acquired. That easily was the hardest thing to do. It really brought home the fact that this thing was real and that it had real immediate and serious consequences.
We left thinking we would go for a couple weeks, maybe a month, and that's how we packed. We packed one suitcase each. And we left basically the day before quarantine and lockdowns and flights started getting shut down.
Things that you have taken for granted. Pandemic.
For years leading up to the year 2020, it had been a dream of mine to go on tour. That adventure, that achievement, is something I had been looking forward to for a long time, and it was finally going to happen. My group got a big grant, and we got this whole festival circuit lined up, and we were going to be taking 17 people across the country. And of course, that never happened.
I remember we were in the airplane, masked up, sanitizing everything like crazy, flying from New York to Vancouver. We read on our phones that anyone coming into Canada would have to quarantine for 2 weeks and that borders were going to shut down. And it kind of started settling on us that things had changed. We might not be going back to New York for a long time. A long time. Pandemic.
So I guess what I lost was that freedom to fly. There was some complacency involved in that, as in, I can be this far away from my mother, and it's okay because I will always have the ability to get there.
Things have changed.
It became a question mark. When do I see my mom again? When can I travel to Dubai again? I remember the biggest thing was, it's a question mark, and I don't know what to do with a question mark, and I think a lot of this year has been just a giant question mark.
There is no such thing as that.
And we've had to learn to be comfortable with question marks.
Complacency.
The place I can no longer visit is the theater. Not just the one that I sing in, but I miss going to the damn movie theater so much. I miss going to a crowded, dank-ass comedy cellar. I miss going to rock concerts and classical music concerts, and that's just a major part of our culture that everyone's really missing right now. Without any great plan for how that returns, there's definitely a hopeless feeling.
I miss the dressing room. I miss coming into the dressing room when it's empty and I'm already starting to enter the state of preparing for the show.
Just like that.
Most of all, I miss my colleagues. And I'm gonna get really choked up. I really miss my colleagues. They're my friends, they're my family. And not being able to be making music with my colleagues, with my friends, with my family is the hardest place to be. It's one of the hardest losses. And I find it really difficult.
There's something about not being able to hug people and that feeling you get when you have a really good hug. It's like an excited greeting hug, or, you know, you're sad and you need to be comforted, or like you just need a hug and there's like arms really tightly gripped around you and you breathe together. And you can just like smile or cry and let go. I miss that a lot.
And I miss like the touch, you know? I miss the touch of burying my face in my mom's chest and hugging my dad, as awkward as it is. I miss that closeness, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to get that back.
I think I really miss like connecting with people on a physical level, like, you know, squeezing someone's arm, like all that we took for granted, even just with colleagues, you know, and friends or acquaintances or even strangers.
That feeling of heart to heart, really getting a good, strong hug.
Things that you have taken for granted.
I painted a lot of ducks during quarantine. I started to spot these wooden ducks in charity shops. And I started buying them and I called it the Rebirth Project. I would sand them down and repaint them. And they're all black and white and I've kind of turned them into these warriors. And
we might not be going back to New York for a long time. And it's, you know, it's 6 months later now and we're still in Vancouver.
You know, here's an object that has been discarded, is unwanted, has been thrown out or just gotten rid of, that I have brought into my space and said, hey, don't worry, man.
We're probably here to stay now. Our home is gone. We've given it to different tenants. We sold them all our things.
I've got a whole new identity for you and we'll fix you up and you'll be badass, like a superhero. You'll be reborn again.
And we still have our one suitcase each.
Badass.
We're slowly rebuilding a different life now.
You'll be reborn.
Pandemic.
Again. Those ducks kept me a lot of company during quarantine. At one point, I was sort of surrounded by these 35 ducks that became friends. It was like a little community in my apartment. And I have to start selling them, and I don't want to because they were my only friends.
Complacency.
Looking back on that period between March and April, you already knew what was going to happen. Deep down, there was this sinking feeling. There was this total sense of disbelief.
Unknown in the air.
Back in April for my son's birthday, I built him this treehouse. And it's got fun stairs and a little climbing wall and a roof and some a netted, like, parapet walkway thing. It's ridiculous. I had to make it. I needed something so badly to throw my energy into, and especially to throw my thoughts into, to feel productive again, and to feel effective, and to feel needed.
I'm making Mel, my partner, this giant headband of like fall colors. And I forgot that I like to work with my hands a lot when I was a kid. I did a lot of beadwork. This has really calmed me. I guess these are like the COVID bracelets, and once they fall off, we'll all be cured and happy again.
The place that I discovered is a parking lot down the street from my apartment. It's an ample parking lot without very many cars, and you can see the city in all directions from any point.
Right now I'm standing on the shore of Lake Ramsey, which is a big lake in the heart of Sudbury, and I'm in what's called the Bell Park. And I've been coming here pretty regularly since the pandemic was declared. It's been, I guess, a refuge of sorts.
During the pandemic, it became a refuge of sorts, not only for myself, but, you know, little by little, I started to see people from the neighborhood also start to utilize the parking lot for their own recreation.
Remember, I've come here to, you know, be by the water and to just enjoy this vast Northern Ontario sky above me. Being here is very comforting and I feel very safe. And I'm reminded of what's important in this life, and that is the water we have before us.
Kids would learn how to ride their bikes there and draw sidewalk chalk art on the ground. And I would go and stroll around it and take my phone call meetings and contemplate the state of the world. And I grew very attached to that parking lot, possibly because all the green space in Toronto was kind of overrun by people itching to get out of their house, and this seemed to be like a quiet, serene alternative. I love that lot.
Together, I have been sort of okay with letting go of the outside world. I've been able to make my home life my world. And maybe that's just something that I tell myself too, so that it doesn't hurt so bad that I am so cut off.
It's still hard when you're trying to figure out how to play the game and, you know, just get by in this world. And all of a sudden, there just isn't that game anymore. Those rules are kind of out the window. And so the sense of needing to excel at that is gone. I mean, what is there to excel at? I do mourn the loss of knowing how to work within the world in a certain way, but at the same time, there is something liberating about not being confined to that kind of structure.
Pandemic complacency.
Being here right now, I'm feeling very comforted. I'm feeling very thankful. This pandemic time has been monumental in my life. I changed careers at the beginning of it. Our second son was born in June. You know, I think of all the gifts that I've been given over the course of, you know, the last few months. And then I consider what so many others around the world have lost. And I'm very grateful and I'm very humbled. I don't take anything in this life for granted. And it is just such an honor to exist in this place. I want others to know just how giving the land is and how sustaining it is and just how rich it is.
Remember.
Pending complacency. What? You're still wearing that thing on your ear? I thought I asked you to treat the old tech with caution. Were you even listening?
I was, Elder, but it happened again.
Could I have your full senses for a moment? I have some exciting news. We've had a transmission from the Council about our assignment for Equinox.
Assignment? Surely they'd think this discovery is more important.
They want us to prepare a performance for the travelers coming into our sphere for Equinox.
Our turn already?
The Council is keen to sense some of the digital age knowledge and histories we've been working to retrieve. They're impatient for some of those stories to be integrated into the laws and ballots.
But there's not a lot of time. That's going to take work and...
Yes, it will. But this is our chance to prove our work is worthwhile.
But, Lar, I got another signal.
On the old tech?
Yes. It was way more detailed. You're right. This is definitely from the pandemic of 2020. I don't know how it came out of Stamen 8B or out of the fungal bloom. I haven't come across anything like this in our archive.
This is most unusual.
And there's something about the signals. Part of it sounds warped, like the original recording has been tampered with.
Huh. Do you think it's corrupted? Maybe that old tech is messing it up?
I don't know, but let's head back inside and run some tests.
All right. But we shouldn't spend too much time on this right now. Our assignment awaits.
See you, Thalma, Elder.
Did you at least have a chance to reflect a little upon the medicine of the land? How it helped us right the wrongs of the digital age and the climate catastrophe?
Oh, I felt a connection, all right. I promise to spend more time there later, Elder. Feel this?
There's an undercurrent. Feels like a Michael message.
I think...
Remember.
Look, all these parts have a mycelium signature.
Pandemic.
What's going on? I've lost control of this digital interface.
Fee, you should stop tampering now. Turn it off.
We are here. We need you. We need help.
What the?
Oh, my roses.
What was that?
Please, turn it off, V.
It was off already. I don't understand.
Garden inventory from the oyster mushroom colony containing a reading from the Ballad of Mycology. Ode to the life cycle of a fungus. Spore, ochre-stained fingers from pore or gill emerging microscopic seed. Hyphae, branches made of cells, threads tunneling in damp earth. Tubular embrace. Mycelium, hyphae interwoven, web of roots digesting death, white fractals growing. Mushroom, into air, a yawp, from wood, from earth erupting, ochre stained fingers.
Are the Apocrypha Chronicles. You heard Ray Takei as Fee and Renai Morisot as Lar. Other voices by Mele Pietro Paolo and Stephanie Wong. Original music by Benton Roark. Directed by Stephanie Wong. Written by Jessica Schacht and Paolo Pietro Paolo. Audio producers Natasha Aziz and Paolo Pietro Paolo. Creative producer, Melanie Yates. Executive producer, Debbie Wong. Artistic directors, Debbie Wong and Benton Roark. This project was produced by Renaissance Opera as part of IndieFest 2020. Special thanks to the artists who contributed their thoughts on the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. C.E. Gachalian, Taya Kasahara, Fatima Mohiuddin, a.k.a. Fats Patrol, Heather Pazzi, Wabgi Jig Rice, Benton Roark, Jessica Schacht, Tyler Simpson, Nancy Tam, Stephanie Trichu, Jackson Y. Chung Tzi, Debbie Wong. For further details, please visit apocryphachronicles.ca. Very special thanks to Victor Guerin for sharing his knowledge of the Hunkaminam language, and to River Blondin Burt for sharing their imagination. This podcast was produced on the stolen lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. The Apocrypha Chronicles was made possible through generous support from the City of Vancouver, Creative BC, and the Province of British Columbia. Renaissance Opera acknowledges the support of the Canada Council for the Arts. We also acknowledge the Government of Canada's support for IndieFest.